What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Will the NBA make the early return? And a great person to talk to about that is Jay Will, who joins us every week on a Tuesday. You can hear him on KJZ every morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. So, Jay, let's just begin there with the idea of what with the reporting that has been about. First, we thought it might be MLK, maybe even as late as March, Adam Silver was saying. Now reports, and we could find out as sometime this week, they might be ready to go December 22nd, Christmas Day, with a December 1st training camp open. That's a quick turnaround.
You know why? Because people miss seeing the Cavs play. People miss, seeing the Knicks.
You better not say Knicks. Oh,
wait. That's why.
First of all, Neil Aquina. They love Frank Neal Aquina.
They love Neal Aquina.
First of all, before we get too deep into it, Jay, are Kyrie new shoes orange and blue? Is he trying to troll the Knicks? Is he trying to troll the Knicks? You can ask him because all the people are like, oh, no, it's yellow. That is orange and blue. I think he's trolling the Knicks.
Now, have you seen it? First of all, let's be fair to Jay. I don't know if he saw.
Well, I
put up a post yesterday.
Jay, what's your cell number, Jay?
I'll send it to him. If you didn't see it, I'll send it to you. But
I'm Googling it right now.
Go to my gram. I have it on the gram. I have a vote up on the gram.
He don't follow you, Alan.
I see it. That's maybe a little. But see, Bart, this is why, look, as somebody who's been calling sports nonstop, and I feel like this was the longest NBA season of all time, I feel like I need a damn break from the NBA season. But realistically, man, the open real estate for what I just heard Alan talk about, these type of conversations about whether Kyrie is actually trolling the Knicks if he wears Knick color shoes on a Brooklyn court, like, that's why you come back early. Does it mean that players are going to low manage? Sure. But the storylines still dominate the marketplace. And if anything, for that value, that's what you give your sponsors. And this is also about revenue, guys. This is about how do we get people in the seats and get these stadiums at least somewhat percent full so we can actually recoup some of the revenue that we lost from last season. That's what this is all about.
I mean,
I imagine, you heard Danny Green say that, and he was speaking out of pocket, but still, I imagine there's some thought to this that teams like the Lakers who went the distance, I doubt you'll see Miami do it, but there's others that might just say, too quick of a turnaround, not good for my body. I'm going to take some games off early in the season, but we'll be ready to go when we do get to a playoff. We're getting so used to it in the NBA. I don't know how fans would really react as poorly as, if this never happened before.
Well, I don't think fans are going to react, but they're going to react in spurts, right? Like, we're all fans. We don't know how the hell to react right now. It's just like the last, Key and I were talking about this the other day. I was like, man, like, I feel like we had NHL, we had the Stanley Cup going on, we had Major League Baseball going on, we had NBA playoffs in the finals going on, we had NFL football that was playing, we have college football that's going on. Like, there's so many sports. It just seems like this is the new normal, that we're just going to have a ton of sports that we talk about all the time until we get to somewhat of a new normal. But this, at least sports, makes it feel somewhat normal that I can argue with my friends about something other than COVID protocol, damn it. Like, I need something else to yell at my friends for, like, it's the only normal thing I have.
And I think this is an opportunity for the NBA to become relevant in the offseason as well, because you talk about the fanatic pace in which free agency will have to happen, training camps will happen, the draft will happen, and people love to see transactions going to put them into the face and the lap of the fan. You know, I mean, the NFL is great, but that's like eating steak every day. Every once in a while, you want some chicken. And I think that, the fact that the NBA can be the alternative to, okay, I want to watch a little basketball today, something different, I think it's an opportunity for the NBA to take advantage of. And for all the teams out there like the Heat, like the Lakers, they have to understand that they got to understand that they got to do something that's for the greater good of the NBA. It's not fair that the Knicks have to wait almost a year and a half before they play a game, because those guys need an opportunity to earn revenue as well, because they haven't been getting checks for that duration of time. So it's time for them to be able to earn a living as well. So it's more about the majority and not the minority. So those are the minority. Those are one or two teams that we're talking about, maybe four, that has to deal with that when we're talking about but the rest of the league needs to start generating revenue, not only for their organizations, but for the players who have bills and need to get a check so they can start paying those bills.
Yeah, and also I'll say, you know, that's a great point, Bart. And I also think another really fascinating scenario to see how it plays out. You know, the players are so avid about having signs that talked about social injustice. How do you continue to move that narrative and move that needle to bring more awareness and recognize, you know, recognition to the fact of what's happening in our country? You know, how will Adam Silver handle that moving forward, considering numbers were down? Now, that wasn't the only reason numbers were down. There's just a slew of sports and everything going on. But as a commissioner of, you know, this one of the most progressive leagues there is, you know, how do you plan that out? How do you do that? Because you still want to incentivize people to watch your product.
Right.
Right. That helps you get higher advertising dollars and things of that sort when you have a bigger audience that watches your product. So it's going to be an interesting conundrum to see how it plays out.
Yeah, for me, it's about the – and I don't want to cut you off, Alan. For me, it's about the action steps now, right? We put the buses and the logos there. Now it's time to take that $25 million and start, you know, strategically putting them into communities and supporting groups and you know, initiatives that are made to start to do the action steps of what we said. Say her name, justice reform, you know, all that type of stuff, legislation. I think it's time for that now, being able to have lobbyists, you know, for the NBA in Washington – to be able to start trying to make changes, not just talk about it.
Can I ask you guys something? Both of you being athletes, and I want to make sure you guys understand this is coming from, you know, at least trying to come from a positive place, or just, this is an innocent question, not loaded at all. At one point, will these guys almost feel like, when can I just go back to focusing on being a basketball player?
Never again.
You understand? Okay, that's the answer I was wondering I was going to get. Because we're saying this like the players need to get out into the community. The players need to represent. The players need to do this stuff. And it almost feels like it can be at times exhausting for these guys to think about now I've got to practice, but then I also have to go out into the community. I got to do all this stuff. I got to focus on this. I got to talk. I got to read up on all this stuff so that when I do speak, I come from a place of intelligence. I mean, that's a lot for guys in their 20s who are trying to also be great at their sport to handle.
Alan, can I say something real quick? I'm sorry, Bart.
Right.
Did you hear what you just said? For guys to be informed when they come to the podium, for guys to know what's going on. This is an opportunity. Yeah, we should be more informed whenever we step up to the podium. I'm not saying you have to address these issues, but if they are issues that you are going to protest about, it's important that everybody knows as much information as possible. So I hear what you're saying. Is it tiring? Yes, it is tiring. Should that responsibility be on the weight of just the athlete? No, it shouldn't be. But still, think about the platform that these guys have. It's really the biggest platform in the world. It should come with some responsibility.
Yeah, for me, I think it goes back to normal after the election. You know what I mean? I think, you know, if it goes a certain way, I think it goes back.
Yeah, I don't know if we know that for sure, right?
So if it goes back another way, I think then athletes will start to kind of exhale and start holding, start holding people accountable. But I think they go back to going to issues that really, you know, outside of just the social justice. Because remember, every athlete usually has a charity. Mine was addressing, handicap, right? Because my cousin got shot in the back sitting at the bar, innocent bystander. He became a quadriplegic. So I do a lot of my work with quadriplegics and paraplegics, right? So, like, people, at some point, you still want to get back. You're always going to have the social justice there, but you're going to get back to doing the things that you're for. I remember D'Angelo Williams. His mother died of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was big for him. Willie Colon is, I think it's lupus.
Lupus, for his mom.
For him, it's lupus, for his mom.
Right.
So I think people still want to get back to that, but you always have to pay attention to what's happening in your communities and what's affecting, you know, people of color, minorities, people with, whether it's the LBG, I always say that wrong, community, it's all that. So whatever's your initiative, eventually we want to get back to the point where we can go to those, but that means that a lot of change has happened in this world, because right now this is the most pressing issue.
Can I vehemently disagree with you on something?
Go ahead.
I hope that we don't come out of this experience, regardless of whoever wins, and say, hey, let's just go back to normal. Like, I really don't care who wins. Like, there is a new normal that's been established. That's like me saying, well, I just have my accident. I just go back to normal. Like, my life has forever been changed due to these events. And yes, you can go back. I understand what you're saying about, you know, go back to your respective charities and things that mean. But I think that the way we will address things moving forward, it won't be as passive, right? I did this. When I had a charity when I was in the league, and you know, but it was passive. I was there, I was involved, but I really wasn't speaking about it. I wasn't as much as I could have, right? I really wasn't making it a priority. And I think now moving forward, those things have to become bigger things to us, because we recognize that we can no longer just donate our money to issues in our time. Like, we need to stand on our principles and donate our voice a lot. And I think that's been a learning opportunity that we've experienced throughout probably one of the most volatile times in the history of sports.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of why I asked the question. Like I said, it wasn't loaded, but I kind of was seeing which direction it would go in for both of you. And I do understand what you're saying, Jay. I think you're right. We've all reached that point, and I mean all of us have reached that point where there can't be that let's just go back to the way things were, because the way things were was not holding people accountable, looking the other way, or just saying it's not affecting me today, so let me not get involved. And we all see the result of that. So I do think we are in that place. I just ask it because there's a lot of intensity towards players, especially NBA players right now, to wear these patches and carry these banners and say these things as if we need you to be this voice. And for a lot of these guys, it's sort of like, I know I have to, but I also got to be good at what I'm doing. And this is a lot for me, you know, like, and I understand that. Yeah. It wasn't much of an off season. So that's the only reason why I asked the question. It was certainly, like I said, it wasn't to start any trouble. But before I let you go, though, there is something I do want to ask you about, which is an interesting – we had an interesting media thing happen this morning. I don't know if you saw it. There was a report that Quinnen Williams was going to be – the Jets were shopping him. And then, like, every other beat writer then came out and said, yeah, no, that's not true. That's not happening. And I love the beat dynamics of that kind of stuff when it's basically a semantics thing. Are they listening to offers? Maybe. Are they shopping him actively? No. That's a different thing. There's times when you talk to a reporter and you say something that you kind of feel like this is just a conversation we're having. It's not really something that you should go public with. So last night during the Monday Night Football broadcast, Brian Griese kind of revealed something that Nick Foles told him about his coach's play calling, which was negative, basically saying that they weren't really on the same page. I know you had a take on this morning, and at least an experience of it, because Foles then afterwards says, oh, it was a miscommunication with Griese in that pre-production meeting. Essentially meaning he shouldn't have said, no, he's basically like, the miscommunication was, yeah, I told you that in confidence, not necessarily exactly something to go. So, Jay, your experience in this is what?
Well, Bart, you will recognize this. Have you ever had one of those moments where a beat writer just does you so dirty? And, you know, it's their job. They have to come up and talk to you. Or somebody in the broadcast, they have to come up and talk to you for all these times. I've had it happen so many times where I see these dudes coming at me. I'm like, beeline, opposite way. I'm just not talking to you. I'm not talking to you anymore. That trust is done.
You're dead.
And
Stephen A talks about all the time. I'm sorry. Stephen A talks about all the time where certain things that Allen asked him not to put on the record when he was with Philadelphia, and he said he didn't do that. That's how you earn players' trust.
Exactly, man. And then it gives you insight to what's going on, but you don't put that player on blast. I had the situation my first year in Chicago where a couple of me and my teammates, we went down to South Florida, obviously, to play against the Heat. We went out for a nice dinner. We kind of went out the night before the game. Shouldn't have, because we were in a position with our record to do so, obviously. But a reporter comes up to me literally that day, that morning, and was like, yo, I heard reports of, you know, you being out, you know, with teammates and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was out. I went out to dinner, you know, and hang out. He's like, no, but I heard you guys are like out. I heard you were out. And then also, like, an article came out. And I, being a rookie, I told my coach I wasn't out, right? Like, I was hiding. I had known this guy for a while, so I thought, hey, you know, we're cool. Like, I'm 21 years old. Of course, I've been in Chicago for the past 3 damn months. Of course I'm in South Florida. I'm going to go out for a nice dinner. It's nice outside.
There's a lot of nice things to look at.
Exactly. Right? So, but then the article comes out, and then my coach finds out that I lied to him about it, even though I was out with teammates. But the report focuses on me, and it created such a weird dynamic between my head coach and myself moving forward that it felt like there was just a lack of trust there. And my thing is, for these type of moments when they happen, even listening to Nick Foles at the podium, like I know that he, you know, kind of seems unawkward. But Bart, you tell me if I'm wrong, Alan, too. Like, it felt like he kept talking over himself over and over again. Like, it was like bumbling. I'm in the corner. I don't really know what to say. Brian Griese kind of screwed me here. Like, and this is the reality because, obviously, it's there. We all saw it. We saw he got sacked four times, two more times, and he got sacked throughout this whole year. But it was like, that just sucks because now it's out there.
You're like, man, this mother – right here, I tell you what, man. And he keep bumbling because he said in his head, I can't believe this. Greasy's supposed to be part of the culture. He's not like talking to the media. He's one of us. He's a former quarterback in his league. So like he let his guard down. But he has to understand, Greasy's in the first year of a primetime spot, a big spot for him. And he's under pressure to say something, right, to have news, to show that he has access. Not anymore. Because everybody else.
3, 2, 1. Well, so it's Matt Nagy. He's having issues with the offensive play calling. Maybe this makes me wonder about Mitchell Trubisky. Was he that bad? Should he come back and play? Foles can't really move in the pocket. Yep. Oh, there's trust factor. All these things start because of that for a team that's 5-2.
Now, let me tell you guys from my experience how you actually handle this stuff. And I don't think a lot – and again, I don't know if Greasy really knows this, but how you play the game is take this information – and make it your own so you sound smart. That's how you do. You don't say, he told me. You go, you know what I see? I see a guy that is not confident in the play calling. I could be wrong, but I see that. I'm looking at a guy that doesn't look like he's believing in this. He hasn't said anything about it, but if it's my trained eye tells me, he's not confident in play calling. You could just see it by the way he's going through the motion, whatever it is.
And you know why he can say it?
Brilliant when later on it comes out that Nick Foles never trusted the play calling. You're like, Greasy said that.
And you know why he can say it?
That's all you do.
Because he's a player. Normally, so he can put himself in a situation.
When an athlete tells you something off the record and he doesn't want his name to it, I don't like this too. When you get the sources or a source
I'm
close
not
to this,
sources.
You don't do that. You just say it. You say it like you know something,
and then
it comes back when it comes out, and you're like, oh, yeah, you said that. Yeah, I did say
it.
I told you.
Alan, I kind of disagree with you a little bit now. This is, you know, sports is like a microcosm of what we see in society. I mean, think about people. This is politics all the time, man. People plant seeds for other people to say. You know how many times I've spoken to people where they say things to me like, well, this is in confidence, Jay, you know. But if you want to take it and make it in your opinion, I'm like, you're not going to use me to get your opinion out there to cut off somebody else at the knees, man. Like, I'm not. So it's constantly navigating to say and what not to say.
Jay, I covered Stephon Marbury, right? Like, like that guy, I think he's got me on mute until about 2030. Like, I don't think he'll ever say another word to me again. And I never even had, like, any issues with him. It's just there were things that you could tell he liked to try to use media. For his own benefit, and if you didn't play the game, you were out. And once you see that, and you're like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not playing that.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you're out. Like, it happens in the league. It happens with LeBron. It happens with Tiger Woods. It happens all the time. So you just got to be aware of it.
You know who's not playing the media game, Alan? Jerry Jones. That's what you get when he curses you on a radio interview.
Yeah, that's a good point. But it's, you know what, though? But it makes for good radio.
You love that caller.
Hell,
you're like, this is a great moment for our station.
Hell yeah. I wouldn't mind that at all. If we had Adam Gase as a weekly and he hung up on us.
That's gold. That's gold right there. That means you got to him.
Or if he said, let me talk. Will you let me talk? That was great.
great soundbite.
Oh, man. Anyways. Always good to talk to you, Jay.
And
we'll see if he has something to say tomorrow. He's got the Dodgers tonight. And I'm telling you, did you show him the Kershaw commercial thing?
I didn't yet. I'm waiting, Alan. I'm waiting for
Game
Blake
7
Snell to win this game tonight, and I'm waiting for it to be Game 7. I'm waiting for Clayton Kershaw to be in the bullpen, and that's
agony,
when I'm going to show him the video.
The agony! Could you imagine if they get to a Game 7 and it's tied? They bring Kershaw in like middle relief, and he just bombs.
It has to happen. Come on, 2020, give me something good,
Clayton.
Please.
Getting your car. Why don't you, like, right. Like Kiermaier takes one. Kiermaier hits one, like, to the moon, and that's all you say. You know, he should have just gotten in his car with the Hankook tires. He could have probably chased that one down.
But I got to tell you, Alan, I really, you know, like, redemption, if it comes to that, I mean, I can't. Are you going to root against Kershaw? Are you going to root against him if it comes to that?
No, I
can't find myself rooting. No. Like, I want there to be redemption for him. I want him to go out on the horse, on the white horse. You know, yeah, Bart, you're that guy. Bart, you know what? You come up to – I hit craps. I hit seven times in a row in Vegas. You're the guy that comes up to my crap table and you put down $1,000 on the don't pass line. That's who you are. I get it.
No, you know why I want the Rays to win? Because I wanted to change the way the Yankees and the Dodgers go about trying to put their teams together. I want to give hope and see fracking to take place to say, hey, it ain't about, you know, spending all your money, even though I want the Mets to do the same thing. But it's also about being able to get ball players. Because I'm the little guy, right? I'm an undrafted free agent. So I love the fact that I see a lot of scrappy players being able to hang with the big boys.
Scrappy. Those analogies don't really adjectives don't really apply to you, do they? You know what I'm going, Bart. Like, Bart, you were considered scrappy?
Yeah, I was scrappy, dude.
Let me at him.
Ray Lewis is behind me. Stop fighting, Bart. Shut up, Ray. I'm crazy.
That's what they call the mad backer.
Yeah, you still are, Bart. That's why I love you.
Good. Jay, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. All right.
Right now, joining us on the show, Braxton Berrios from the Jets. Braxton, we appreciate it. I have the location correct, right? We won't be specific with where you are, but I imagine it's in somewhere in Jersey.
Yes, you got that one right. Because of COVID, we're kind of quarantined to the state as it is. So
we'll leave it there. We won't go.
Bro, when did you get the Barry White voice, man? You got some good pipes there, man. You could do some voiceover work.
Thank you. Yeah, no, whenever you need me, I heard I have a good face for radio, so I'm available.
Yeah, we both hold that claim as well.
Yeah, we all. It's all good, bro.
Well, they made Bart wear a face mask. Linebacker had the whole cage.
how you feeling though, bro? After a game in which in the first half you guys had a lot of success, I saw a lot of shifts in motion, something that was new underneath Loggins. Did it feel natural in the first half? You know, the success, and you know, you had a dime thrown to you in the middle of cover two. Now Sam went back to the well a little bit too often, and that same pick was picked off. But you had to feel some confidence, just the fact that you were able to move the ball against a great defense in the first half.
No, absolutely. Obviously, you know, we did a lot of things going into last week that we hadn't done. And really in that first half, we were moving the ball, we were rolling, and, you know, we were operating, and, you know, they were playing reactively, which is obviously exactly what we wanted to do. So, no, it felt good. We had practiced that stuff all week, and we were just, I mean, we were executing really well.
Now, how disappointing is it that, you know, you guys just haven't been able to be whole? Right, you know, Crowder out, you know, I know that gives you another opportunity, but you know, when this thing is all together, you're going to have opportunity as well, and you're going to be able to cycle receivers in and out and keep guys fresh and let guys go out and be able to run a speedo or over route, a deep route, and come back and put the defense on their heels. How disappointing is it that you guys haven't been able to have everybody together so you guys can start building that chemistry? And then, you know, with that also, Sam Darnold being in and out, having to adjust for how Flacco throws his ball and how Sam throws his ball and all that stuff as far as timing.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we play football, and that kind of comes with the territory. And then, you know, you add that with, you know, the kind of uncharacteristic year it's been leading into the season. You know, a lot is different. But at the end of the day, everybody's going through the same thing that we are. You know, not one team is fully healthy. So, you know, obviously you hope you get everybody back at the same time, and, you know, you get to build that chemistry across the board with everybody. You know, now that, you know, obviously Mims is back, you know, that was his first game last week. So, you know, that's obviously something that you care to have, but at the end of the day, it's football. And, you know, whoever's in there is expected to play at the level, you know, that we hold ourselves to.
We're talking with Braxton Berrios of the Jets. And Braxton, Sam Darnold admitted this on the K-Show earlier. I think it was earlier this week that he does hear, or at least sees it on social media, the rumors, or not rumors, but really just the talk about if the Jets end up with the top pick, Trevor Lawrence is somebody fans are talking about. He's still a young quarterback. You're a young guy too, but he's still young as a quarterback with the Jets in his third year. So that stuff is just kind of existing. It's hovering. There's a lot of stuff obviously hovering over your team right now when you're 0-7. That's what happens. But I don't know how much players discuss this stuff in a locker room. It's such a cliche question to ask. But I'm going to ask you just if that stuff at all, when you hear it, see it, whatever, makes you say like, are these guys crazy? They've got a quarterback. This guy can play.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, and really all I'm going to say about it is we have a guy, and we fully believe in him. Everybody in this building does. I think he's uber talented, to say the least. And, at the end of the day, people say everything about everything, and it's really not our job to listen. We do try to keep it out of the locker room as much as we can. So, like I said, Sam's our guy.
With that being said, listen, I'm a big believer in Sam, and I've stated that I would use whatever pick you get in the first round as an opportunity to maybe shop it to Jacksonville and be able to, acquire more picks. But with that being said, I think that Sam understands as a leader that he has to answer some questions. That's why I think he came back and fought with you guys, because he could have stayed on the shelf and made sure he was 100%. He may be feeling better, but he's not 100%. With that being said, what did that show you guys that, you have guys coming back early to battle through, even though seemingly you guys aren't on the path or the trajectory to go to the playoffs this year? What does that say about, Sam and Becton, as young players that's willing to grit and grind for his teammates?
No, well, they're warriors, and, That's what you want to see. Those are the people you want to go into battle with, especially your quarterback who, at the end of the day, the quarterback position is not, the brute of the team. And you love that. You love to see a guy who's like, if I can throw, I'm going. Obviously we respect that. And, that's one of the many reasons why, I sit there and say, like, Sam's our guy. It's not because he's super talented, but also because he's going to do whatever he can and whatever it takes to, put us in the best position to win. But you love to see that. And that's obviously the kind of character and culture that that we're building.
Now, let's talk about you for a minute, though. Oh, I'm sorry, but you had a follow-up?
I just had one more because, I was fortunate enough to play underneath the same defensive system probably for, all 11 years of my career. But I did notice differences between when Rex was my defensive coordinator to where he became my head coach, and then Mike Pettine became the defense coordinator. Same plays, same playbook. And then when Dennis Thurman also had controls of the helm, did you feel a difference in the rhythm and the play calling from Loggins than maybe from Gase?
At the end of the day, I'm not one to compare and contrast. I don't really listen to what's called and think that's a great call or not, regardless. Obviously what we did in practice, it translated in that first half. In the second half, they made adjustments and, we slowed down and, we just didn't execute like we did in the first half. And that's on us. But, in the first half, like I said, we were rolling and, we obviously felt pretty good about it.
Braxton's a good dancer, Bart. He's a good dancer. You
got that one. Got that one.
Bart tried to get him, and he said, "No. I'm gonna tiptoe around that one." Then you did a good job.
I tried to make it personal. Like I put myself in the story.
I'm
like, "Hey, Rex was there. A little bit more blitzing from Rex. A little bit more coverage."
My guy's 25. He's young, but you can tell he's got a little experience when it comes to handling media, and I like it. I respect it. Let's talk about you though for a minute here. Again, in your second year with the Jets, and becoming more and more of a target, more and more of a guy that is emerging as somebody that they're trying to use, develop, and everything else. It's just, where are you right now? Like, in your career, you could look at the team, you could look at the success of the team and all that stuff, or lack thereof, and you want to contribute to winning, you want to be part of winning. But you as yourself as a player coming out of Miami and what you wanted to be at the NFL level, where are you right now, and how do you feel about your game?
Honestly, I'm doing what I can to win, and that's the wholehearted truth. Like I've told anybody around here and tell my coaches all the time, I don't care what it is I have to do, where I have to line up. I'm trying to win football games, and that's why I'm here. And I think the rest, it kind of takes care of itself. So, where I am is in a position where, at the disposal of this team and the coaching staff to try to win, man.
Does Wayne Corbett having a history with this franchise mean anything to you, because similar stature, similar background, similar type of receivers, or no?
I mean, obviously he was an incredible player, and you know this fan base absolutely loves him. And you know I've seen some of his stuff from back in the day. So no, it's you know, I tip my hat to him. He obviously, you know, holds a special place here.
You know, Jericho Cotri was a great slot receiver too, man. Put some respect on Jericho
Cotri.
He was. You know what I'm saying? But no, I'm just playing. But you know, just talking about
What are you trying to do there, Bart? I mean, come on, man. You understand what I'm trying? You know, there's a little more parallel.
I'm putting the soul glow up in there too. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We got soul glow up in the middle too. You know what I'm saying?
The scary thing is that Braxton was probably born after Corbett was doing what he was doing with the Jets, right, which exactly. I don't even want to think about that for a minute.
Yeah, he saw that on NFL films. He didn't see that live.
Yeah, the vintage.
Now, where does this team go? You know, this was the first time that you guys had an opportunity to see an opponent twice. Now, eventually, Miami's coming up, and you have an opportunity to kind of see how Miami decided to defend you guys. Is it any type of, you know, data that was acquired, you know, knowing that you've gone that you went against that team and they're going to see you again, knowing how they, because that's what I always did. I always try to have a book on defensive coordinators and the players in which I see all the time within the division, because you know how to kind of beat them, know what they do well, know what they don't do well. Are you being able to gather any of that data yet, or have you not got to that level yet?
No, absolutely. You know, you know whatever division you're in, you're going to see those teams twice. And so it's obviously, you know, with Gase coming from Miami before this, you know, he's seen them twice there too. And, you know, obviously it's a small kind of fraternity. As it goes around, you see everything's kind of connected. So you get to know those teams better than any other ones in your division or any other ones in your conference or in the league. So no, absolutely. You game plan off of what they did in the first game and, you know, what obviously they did well and what they didn't do so well. And, you know, you take that information and that's how you game plan them.
All right. Last thing for you. And of course we can't let you go without another tough one. So let's throw this at you. Jets Chiefs this Sunday, 1:00. Vegas has this now as the Chiefs. It was at one point, I think 22. It's at 19.5 now. I know none of that stuff matters to a player, but it is still an interesting perspective that it's being looked at as the Chiefs are going to smoke this team. Like, that's how they're basically what they're saying. You guys have been through a lot, and the last couple of games you've been more and more, at least this game in Buffalo, a lot more competitive. The defense has really been good. And Bart will tell you that the Chiefs' defense is awful.
Hey,
he'll tell you it's terrible.
They're protected.
So does any of that ever play in, though, where you're like, you know what, they think we're going to get smoked. They think we're going to get blown out. Is there any type of motivation to even just something as stupid as a spread being 19.5 right now?
Well, you know, if you start looking at that and say they think this, they think that, and, you know, that kind of leaks out to the rest of the media, then it leaks out to social media, and then you start listening to everything that is going on outside of you instead of, you know, being where you're supposed to be and where your feet are. So, no. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, let's call a spade, we're 0-7. So, you know, that's really the only motivation I think, you know, anybody in this building needs. You know, I don't need a over under or a spread to get me going on a Sunday.
Hey, before you go, I just want to give you I want to start a poll question, because I have this thing where I find celebrity lookalikes for people I know. Anybody that knows me knows that's kind of what I do.
This is true.
I picked you out for Buddy Scott. Not any relation with me. Buddy Scott from Charles in Charge.
Again, a show that was out before he was even born.
That's why I want him to go to the Google later. So we're going to put that out on our poll to say, you know, does you guys look alike?
Well, I don't know what he looks like, so I'm kind of scared to Google, but I'll Google and I'll vote accordingly.
Hey, he was 80s hot, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So this is 2020, but maybe it carries over.
We're actually ask his parents about this one and see what they think. We'll go from there. We appreciate you being a good sport, my man. Thanks so much for the time. All the best. Good health.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it, guys.
So now I got Nicole Eggert flashbacks, man. Feeling like a
Charles
dirty old man.
Charles in charge of our days and our nights. I want Charles in charge of me. Charles, when the kids go to sleep, Charles and Charles had company over. He's that babysitter they don't want.
Like I said.
Hold on, man. What's this on my couch?
Do you not remember Nicole Eggert in that show?
I don't.
Come on, the blondie?
I just remember Charles, and he was a pimp.
Yeah, he definitely was.
And like, the parents was never at home.
No, because Charles was in charge.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, you didn't have to be home if Charles was in charge.
That's true.
Mom and Dad could get out to the bed and breakfast and, you know.
Ah, they was keeping it fresh.
Yeah. Sookie, yo. Uh-huh. You know, like, so, you know, that's how it worked. Although, there's some stories about that show now when you dive in. And by the way, Scott
Baio.
It was the 80s.
Everybody was doing it. It's like Kevin Hart. He's like.
It's the 80s. Everything was.
Yeah. He's like,
everything is legal in Jersey and everything was legal in the 80s.
He was like, yo, everybody that know, I ain't got to say it. Your dad was back there doing it too. Oh, no, you didn't. Like, Dad, you get you a cup. All right. Like, nah, you get you a cup and put your name on the cup. You ain't sipping out of no other cup
bang,
in
bang.
This house.
Bang, bang. So on the Bart and Han Twitter, Anthony put it. Now, is it a poll? No, you didn't make it a poll. We just put up two pictures, Braxton Berrios, and we tagged them because why not? And Willie Ames. No, don't fix it. It's too late. I've already retweeted it. It's too late. And so we have Willie Ames, the actor who played Buddy Lembeck. In the show.
Buddy Lembeck. Yeah, Buddy.
Buddy. And if you look at the pictures, seriously, like that is as you're really good at that game. You're good at that celebrity lookalike game.
Yo, I tell you what, I got a driver for my Amazon DSP thing that looks like Bison Dele, and he didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Bison Dele? What a reference.
I was like, bro, you like Bison Dele.
How do you even think of Bison Dele? Like, how does that even come up in your mind? That's a great reference.
It's just, and then when I showed him, he just walked out.
He didn't like that at all, did he?
He couldn't say nothing. He looked just like him, and he had an afro. He's like, cut my hair.
You're the worst. What would you say to me then? All right. What am I?
See, nothing's come off.
You.
But it's going to come in my head. Like I don't have one for everybody. Yeah, I don't have one for everybody. But like when I see people, and it's like sometimes when I saw Berrios, I was like, man, he looks like Buddy.
Yeah.
I said flying Brian Pillman too. But I got to look up flying Brian to see what he looks like.
Gotcha. I just get Chris Isaac.
Nah.
It's got Chris Isaac and...
I used to get Vernon Davis all the time.
People used to- Morrissey. You won't know this.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This
is Lunch Money.
See what he's doing?
Yeah, he said we're talking too much.
You better wrap it up.
Anthony's like grabbing the wheel. Get you lunatics out of here. All right. So tonight, World Series Game 6... It's funny how Anthony's so passive-aggressive. The Dodgers have a chance to win the World Series. 8 o'clock game on Fox tonight. Nothing else to watch, so why not put this on? Blake Snell, Tony Gonsolin, and he will actually pitch. He went down an opener tonight, but I imagine you're going to get a lot of bullpen. So, our lunch money today will be the over-under, okay? And it's 8, which is like always 8 for some reason. The only game to not go over, by the way, was the previous game, which was 4-2. Other than that, you've had 8-3, 6-4, 6-2, 8-7. So 4-2 game 5 was the only one. So I'm saying, Bart, I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the over too, man. I think especially, you know, I don't think Snell will give up a lot. I think, you know, this is
the second time around, he's a mess. Yeah, you got to watch. They got to get to the bullpen. And Gonsolin as well as a young guy. So there'll be some bullpen going on in here. All right, Bart, let's see what happens. And great job today. I will see you tomorrow.
I holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.